You're listening to Tech Talk Radio in your backyard and worldwide on the pod.
Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
It's the first time that Apple have actually decided to tell people about something that they're developing.
High-speed broadband, let's just make sure that we can get it in Australia this year, not next.
The three main spamming countries are the United States, China, and South Korea.
And I've got some residual powers.
Sounds like something out of Harry Potter.
Senator Coonan, the voice of reason.
There's a couple of systems on a gantry that's actually based on a military missile tracking system.
You put the date on ePray, and you get a whole service just on it.
How does it go?
IE7, you were having trouble installing it because you had a genuine copy of Windows that wouldn't validate properly. What did you have to do to get past that?
Built a new machine.
But how hard can it be?
Well, it's not hard at all.
At the end of the day, the photography is all about the person's eye and what they see.
If you find something that's inappropriate about your child, you need to do something about it because it will not go away.
On air, on the internet, and on the pod, you're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Tech Talk Radio. I'm your host, Andrew McComb. This week, Apple's iPhone supporting third-generation mobile communications is heading for our shores. After months of speculation, finally the rumours will be laid to rest. To start with, it's not called the 3G iPhone, it's called the iPhone 3G. So let's take a look at what's in and what's out. To start with, GPS is in. GPS receivers in mobile devices isn't new, as Sony Ericsson included in their current range of phones as well as many other manufacturers. A 3G chipset enabling much faster browsing of the web and downloading was obviously mandatory. The device also has a new sleek appearance with thinner edges and a flush headphone jack. There's more battery life despite the demands of the power-hungry 3G chipset. It's half the price of the previous model. It's available in two colours, black and white. It has a 2-megapixel camera, and it has 8GB or 16GB of storage and a 3.5-inch screen. One feature that is missing is the lack of video calling, a feature telcos love to charge for. The lack of a removable battery is also still very disappointing, and there's no MMS. A feature used to send pictures and movies from one phone to another. That's not to say someone won't write an application to do this, it's just not out of the box, unlike a conventional 3G device. There's no rumoured 32GB of storage, you can't use the device as a wireless modem like you can other third generation devices. There was no mention of connecting the iPhone 3G to Bluetooth devices, such as a keyboard, and no rumoured front camera. So there's still plenty of room for improvement from a 3G functionality point of view. But for those of you with their hearts set on buying the device just because of the brand name, they won't be disappointed. Just watch this space this time next year.
This week on Tech Talk Radio.
Telstra gets into legal talks with Optus over the iPhone. The ACCC slams eBay's PayPal policy. Melbourne Club's broadband bid. Prisons in plan to jam mobiles. And MySpace to get a facelift. First up, though, here's the latest happenings from the Tech Talk News Desk with Dr. Ron.
This is Tech Talk News.
This week on Tech Talk News, Apple finally launches the much-anticipated 3G iPhone. Australia's competition watchdog puts the brakes on eBay. Yahoo stocks dive with Microsoft's takeover dead in the water. And Big Brother starts blocking porn, terror and hate websites in France and the United States. Welcome to Tech Talk News. Steve Jobs unveiled the next generation iPhone at Apple's Worldwide Developer Conference in San Francisco last week. As expected, the new iPhone will run on 3G HSDPA telephone networks and will also be fitted with a global positioning system receiver. The new iPhone is expected to go on sale from the 11th of July. Two models have been announced, an 8GB iPhone priced at just $199 and a 16GB model priced at $299. Both models are $200 cheaper than their predecessors. In the United States, both models require users to sign a 2-year contract with telco AT&T. International pricing has not yet been announced. In Australia, Vodafone and Optus have both confirmed that they'll be selling the new iPhone and promised to reveal pricing details well in advance of next month's launch. Vodafone and Optus are the only two Australian carriers listed as partners on the Apple website. Telstra and Three have been notably silent since the iPhone's launch. Instead of releasing constructive information about its iPhone plans, Telstra instead chose to mark the occasion by launching a broadside at rival Optus, accusing Optus of misleading consumers insofar as the new iPhone wasn't compatible with the 900 MHz Optus network. When asked directly by IT Wire if Telstra was planning to sell Apple's new iPhone, a Telstra spokesperson reportedly replied, "Telstra is the market leader in mobiles and we aim to stay that way. So while not commenting on the iPhone or our plans specifically, watch this space." An Optus spokesperson last week said that the iPhone will be available in Australia on prepaid, but that Optus was not releasing any further price details at this time. Vodafone also confirmed that it would be offering the iPhone on prepaid, but similarly would not provide any further pricing details. Australia's consumer watchdog has put the brakes on eBay's plans to implement a PayPal-only payment policy for its online auction site. Chairman of the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission, Graham Samuel, last week said he had concerns over the anti-competitive effect of eBay's proposal and issued a statement which called on eBay to delay implementation of its plan. Mr. Samuel said that the ACCC was concerned that the proposal would allow eBay to use its market power to substantially lessen competition in the markets in which PayPal operates. The ACCC has now issued a draft notice proposing to revoke eBay's request for immunity from prosecution. Interested parties can now submit responses to the draft notice before the ACCC issues a final ruling. eBay released a statement saying it would be assessing the ACCC draft notice and would make further comment following the review process. Yahoo's stock price took a battering last week as the instant messaging giant turned to rival search juggernaut Google to handle advertising sales. The share price plunged 10% as investors abandoned hope that Microsoft would ever renew its bid to buy the company. Instead, Yahoo turned to Google to use its superior search technology to display advertisements on Yahoo and Yahoo's partners' websites in the United States and Canada. But shareholder unrest could further disrupt Yahoo's plans, with an outspoken investor, Carl Icahn, vowing to replace the company's board because of the way the Microsoft negotiations were handled. Icahn reportedly still has hopes for a deal with Microsoft. A deal between Yahoo and Google would take some time to come to fruition, with approval still needed from United States anti-competition regulators. And in the fight against cybercrime, ISPs in both France and the United States reached independent agreements last week blocking sites which carry child pornography or material linked to terrorism or racial hatred. In France, Interior Minister Michel Alliot-Marie announced on Tuesday that the plan would become effective in September when a blacklist of banned websites would be distributed to internet service providers. This list would be built from input from internet users who signal sites dealing with offensive material. The announcement coincided with a similar deal in the United States, also announced last week. Verizon, Sprint, and Time Warner Cable all agreed with New York State officials to block internet users from accessing child pornography sites from within the United States. Other countries have already introduced similar programs, including Britain, Sweden, Denmark, Norway, Canada, and New Zealand. I'm Dr. Ron, and that's your tech update for this week.
Previously on Tech Talk Radio.
A dog trained to sniff out pirate discs has been found dead.
Sniffer dogs for pirate discs.
I wonder what they smell.
Yeah, how they know the contents.
Maybe pirate, maybe printer ink.
For those of you that haven't caught up, 2:30 a.m. tomorrow morning Eastern Australian time is when the Worldwide Developers Conference is being broadcast.
So there you go. Don't go to any Olympic Games sites with .cn on the end of them.
I saw in 100 metres, turn right.
A million and one people communicating with us via all method of technology this evening.
She orders pretty much all of her textbooks online from Amazon and gets them here cheaper than buying them local.
Is it a job for government though, or is it a job for ISPs to provide interlinks?
Let's talk about Goosh.
Not everybody that listens to the show is going to get this site.
Vodafone HSDPA also roams onto Vodafone 3G and Vodafone GPRS.
Oh, did I say that?
Yeah, you might have. Oh.
Had a bad week last week.
Entertaining, informative and independent. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio. Showtime. The panel on Tech Talk Radio.
And a very good evening, very good afternoon, very good morning, wherever you might be listening to us anywhere in the world. Welcome to yet another edition of Tech Talk Radio. In fact, this is number 24 for this year. How about that? We're nearly halfway through the year already. 25 eps, I guess. halfway, end of financial year in Australia coming up. And guess what? I haven't heard any news this week because I've been so snowed under with my professional requirements that the guys are going to tell me all about it tonight. But there's one thing that did sneak through that I did actually manage to catch, and that's a new phone being launched or something like that. Dr. Ron, JD, and Graham, a full contingency here on the panel this evening with all manner of operating software from Windows XP to, I guess, Leopard sitting over there, Ubuntu, and I don't know what else is going on. Evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
Andrew. Hello.
Anyway, what's been happening, boys? We've got an announcement tonight. We're going to announce our winner of our hard drive competition, but that's after the next break.
The Maxtalk competition, looking forward to that.
A terabyte of the best, heading your way if you're lucky enough to,
I put in 100 entries chosen today. I think Graham put in a few at the last minute as well. So
all disqualified, Dr. Really? Ron, I'm sorry.
Oh, what? Under what name? So we can disqualify?
Yeah, that's right. There was a new phone released, apparently, at the start of the week. JD, yeah. Have you got some, you can shed some light on that announcement?
Well, the 3G iPhone that we talked about last week finally got announced.
Hooray! Woo-hoo.
Was it what you expected, JD? Or was it a little disappointing, or were you a little overjoyed?
It's pretty much what I expected. The keynote was a bit disappointing, I've got to say.
Well, I haven't seen his keynote. Was he up there in his sneakers and his shirt?
He was, yeah. Looking a bit gaunt, actually. He's
really a bit stressed, is he?
Rumours about being unwell with his pancreatic cancer that he had last year. So.
Oh, really? Hmm. Oh, well, all the best, Steve.
Indeed.
Okay, so we'll talk about that little telephone in a sec, but Dr. Ron, you've had some correspondence. Are they being entered into this evening? Lots of feedback. Oh, by the way, what are we frappering? Are we?
Oh, we're everything. We always are.
After last week's episode,
we always have been. Yeah, we all lost a bit of hair after last week's episode. No, we're listening on the Twitter device again tonight. So if you don't know what the address is to follow them, just quickly listen to last week's. No, I'll tell you what it is. RK5075 is where I'm tweeting at the moment, and that's working.
Now, what's Twitter?
Well, Twitter is a social networking system where you can put your status messages in and it propagates to everybody who's following you. So I've just put in a status message there that says that I'm on the air.
Everywhere.
So if people are following me, they'll see that that's what I'm doing. Mm. Other people can put their status messages in as well, and if I'm following them, I'll see their updates.
And as Adam Turner says, he was feeling a bit old-fashioned the other day. The email address is feedback@techtalkradio.com.au. If you want to contribute in any way, shape, or form this evening, let's have Jeff Dudley's there. Good evening, Jeff. Yes, a few of our regular listeners are chirping in already. So what correspondence do say, Dr.
Well, we do. We have set up a new Tech Talk Radio Facebook group, which we announced a couple of weeks back. We now have 10 members, but I'm sure we can do 10 times that number. So come on, if you're a Facebook user, get on board. You can see if your friends are online and other Tech Talk enthusiasts are online. You can chat in real time now, of course, with Facebook. They've got that little application built in, which is very useful. We've also got some feedback from Jamie G, who's a contributor. Hi, guys. I noticed you talked a bit about the future of internet television. I recommend you look at... Oh, he's steering us towards his blog. I recommend you look at my latest post, especially the post of Philip Hodgetts and I having a discussion. Philip is a well-known digital media guy in the United States. Anyway, point Adam at this too. Adam, you've been pointed. His blog's at www.crafted.com.au/blog and follow the links there through to his discussion with Philip Hodgetts, which was very interesting. So thanks for the link there, James.
The iPhone is here. It's now. Well, actually, July 11, isn't it,
July
JD,
11
as I look through the plethora of microphones
20,
here in the studio?
Yeah, under 20-odd countries, yes.
What about Telstra? They're about the only company that's sitting on the fence still.
What about Telstra?
Why do you say that, Dr. Ron?
Talk about big party poopers. Instead of getting all excited and getting on board and... Let's stock the iPhone, carry it as well. Let's enter into some sort of constructive negotiations with Apple and see if we can do a good deal here as well.
I don't think you can tell Apple to go and stick to their knitting and then expect to get...
Speaking of knitting, we'll put our thoughts on hold for a moment and we'll go to the view from the couch because it's very...
It's a very early view from the couch.
It's very focused about knitting this week.
Knitting.
Adam Turner's View from the Couch on Tech Talk Radio.
The iPhone 3G has been announced with much fanfare, but the silence from Telstra is deafening. Only a few months ago, Australians feared Telstra might have the monopoly on Australian iPhones, and the telco would gouge customers wanting to get a slice of iPhone goodness on Next G. Then Vodafone threw its hat in the ring, closely followed by Optus. Now the second-gen iPhone has been officially announced and will hit Australian shelves on July 11, but still not a word from Telstra. The fact that two phenomenally arrogant companies such as Apple and Telstra couldn't strike a deal shouldn't really come as a surprise. Both like to grandstand and both are obsessed with owning the customer. It would seem Telstra is paying the price for last year's scathing comments about Apple and the iPhone. Telstra technology boss Greg Wynne called the iPhone old hat and said that there's an old saying, stick to your knitting, and Apple is not a mobile phone manufacturer, that's not their knitting. Now, the fact Australians are rushing to pre-order iPhones with Vodafone and Optus would suggest that Apple might be handier with a 3mm circular needle than Telstra gives it credit for. If Telstra sticks to knitting socks and doesn't offer the iPhone, will NextG customers get cold feet? I think so. Coverage and speed have always been Telstra's justification for NextG's exorbitant pricing structure, but the competition is fast catching up. Vodafone and Optus are rapidly expanding their national HSDPA networks, to the point where Vodafone will almost match NextG's coverage footprint by Christmas. At that point, customers sick of being screwed by Telstra will have little reason to stay, but they need to read the fine print. Vodafone and Optus are running their Metro 3G networks at 2100 MHz, but they're expanding their regional 3G networks at 900 MHz. The new 3G iPhone doesn't support 900 MHz, only 850, 1900 and 2100. So once Optus and Vodafone iPhone users get beyond the cities, they'll fall back to painfully slow GPRS speeds. Hutchinson's 3 network has also been conspicuously quiet on the iPhone front, which is surprising considering Hutchison Telecom in Hong Kong announced it would be selling the iPhone. Considering 3 targets the young, hip demographic, you'd think the iPhone would be a perfect fit. Anyway, back to Telstra. Its insurance policy against iPhone defectors is its NextG 2-year contract lock-in. Punters are unlikely to switch networks for the iPhone if it's going to cost them $1,000 to break their contract. You can bet there are plenty of NextG users out there counting the days until they can break free of Telstra. Even if Telstra does offer the iPhone later in the year, it will have a difficult task on its hands convincing users not to defect to Optus or Vodafone, especially city slickers who don't care about slow regional data speeds. Steve Jobs revealed that the 8GB iPhone will sell for $199 US and the 16GB model for $299 US. This is a considerable price drop, but this pricing is available to those who sign up for a 2-year contract with AT&T in the US. Now, Jobs promised global pricing parity so you won't pay more for the iPhone in other countries, but this might only apply to shoppers who sign up for a 2-year deal with their local telco. NextG users looking to switch to the second generation iPhone might want to buy one outright and slip their existing SIM card into it, but there's still no word yet on outright pricing or whether Jobs' pricing parity pledge applies to outright pricing. If it doesn't, the woeful state of the greenback would make it seem a smart move for NextG users to import 3G iPhones from the US, but Apple has thought of this. Unlike the first iPhones, when you go into a shop now and buy an iPhone, you have to activate the phone on the spot and sign up with AT&T for a 2-year contract. So that means it doesn't make much sense to buy one overseas anymore. Of course, Telstra may have deliberately chosen not to sell the iPhone. NextG users with an iPhone in their pocket are far more likely to buy content from the Australian iTunes store than from Telstra's Big Pond. Considering services like this are where the real money lies, perhaps Telstra has made a strategic decision not to hand customers over to Cupertino. Like I said, both Apple and Telstra are obsessed with owning the customer. There's still a month until the 3G iPhone hits Australian shelves and anything could happen. Optus and Vodafone are obviously holding their cards close to their chests so they're not undercut by the other. Analyst group Oven predicts Vodafone will sell the iPhone for $0 up front, which should bring in the shoppers. If Telstra is going to accept that there is a phone in Apple's knitting bag, it needs to stitch up a deal with Cupertino soon or be left out in the cold.
Entertaining, informative and independent. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
$199 to $200 US, that's not a bad price. And I'd be buying one outright just quietly. I always buy my phones outright now. I've learnt the hard way.
It's pretty good pricing that, you reckon?
Oh, absolutely.
Excellent. Can't wait.
I think there'll be people lining up for them if they sell it outright. Now, we haven't seen any pricing models that I'm aware of yet from anyone, have we? Adam was guessing that we might be seeing $0 for one of the phone companies.
There's lots of rumours out there about around just sub 250 on a 2-year plan, but there's nothing official.
But even still, if you look at buying a phone outright, any other phone, a HSDPA, a third generation mobile, which is a high speed download. You're going to pay more than that for it if you buy a phone like that outright, yeah, I would have imagined.
Outright, the rumours are around the $700 mark for the 8 gig and around $1,000 for the 16, but again, unconfirmed.
Now, Steve solved his export problems with this new version, did you hear?
No.
Oh, basically you have to sign up and activate your phone at the time of purchase with AT&T in the United States now.
Ah.
So I'm sure some smart cookie will come out with a workaround for it, but I wonder if they'll do that here. You'll be able to rock into the provider of your choice, buy the device, but you must activate it there and then.
But what does that do when you activate it there and then?
That means you've signed the contract, I think.
Yeah, but you've signed a contract with them. But
you've locked into a telco for 2 years or whatever the price is. But if you can buy it outright, well, surely.
Yeah, you're not actually locking the device to a particular network, are you?
Well, they are locked. That's what the whole last 18 months of hackers have been doing.
Oh, righto.
Is getting around the lock mechanism.
So if you get one from the US, even if you signed up with a contract and tried to send it over here...
Well, I don't think you'll be able to buy through a Generation 1 from the US because the networks aren't supported over there. I could be wrong, and I probably are wrong, but I'm just reading between the lines here.
Well, still release them because they can still use the Edge networks, so they'd still be flogging them, wouldn't they?
And especially if you're a rural user here in Australia. Because what Adam was alluding to is that the high speed or the next G3, which the third generation stuff, which is what Telstra... sell the high-speed download packet access, is available nationally on 850 megahertz, which is a band, where you tune in to receive and to transmit from your device to your mobile phone provider. Now, the Apple iPhone doesn't do 900 meg HSDPA.
It only does 800 meg
Edge and GPRS.
Does 850.
Yes.
And 1900 and 2100.
Yes, and hence this is going to be a loophole for unsuspecting communicators, people who want to get one and they live a bit further afield and they have to roam. Well, your roaming's going to probably fall back down to a slow speed, unless you're with Telstra. But Telstra, as they say, their knitting needles are still firmly in their bag and we don't know what's quite going on here. But anyway, there's all these downright and dirty things happening at the moment. I think you alluded to it in the news this evening, Dr. Ron, too, that Telstra has served Optus with a notice from its legal department, and Telstra are really good at doing that, and questioning its rival's ability to provide adequate service for the newly released 3G iPhone.
That sounds very official. They served them with a notice. What does that mean? They wrote them a letter and said, "Dear Optus, we don't like your advertising campaign. Love Telstra."
We didn't get away with it.
What does Telstra care about Optus's ability to service their customers? Gosh. Isn't that surely something for the consumer to work out?
Well, yeah, you would have thought so. It's just a case of sour grapes.
We got slapped. I'm going to slap somebody else.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I've got nothing nice to say about anyone or anything, so I'm going to do this instead.
Is this what our country's come to?
Oh, I'm sure it
is. Is this telecommunications at its best, tit for tat? Let's keep the prices high, let's have a monopoly, and the poor old consumer's going to cop it?
Pretty much.
The incumbent warned Optus yesterday that some 3G devices will be incompatible with its 900 meg 3G network only, days after Optus revealed that it was going to launch Apple's 3G iPhone next month. Well, this is what we've just been talking about. A Telstra spokesperson said that today consumers should be aware that some of these new phones will not work on the 900 meg frequency. But why would Telstra get legal with Optus over that? Surely the ACCC would get legal with Optus because they're protecting the consumer if they're going to advertise something that's not correct.
If they think they're going to lose business because Optus isn't playing fair, then they can complain about that. But
it's all predicated on the iPhone not doing 900. That's the only real argument here. And so Telstra are assuming the iPhone's going to be a killer. By the sounds of it.
Indeed. And Vodafone and Optus are both rolling out the 2100 megahertz networks. That's going to support 2100 megahertz. So.
It will be a killer JD at $200 US, even $300. Let's talk Australian dollars here. Let's say $350 to $400 Australian dollars outright, if you can. People are just going to fall over them for them.
Mm.
And at that price, they're disposable, unlike their laptops.
Yes.
But we won't go there. You remember we will go there, actually. Remember that laptop we spoke of probably 2 weeks ago on the show, which was 3 months down the track on an Apple service claim?
Yeah.
Still is.
Did we find out whether it was a reseller or Apple Direct?
No. But what we have found now is that the particular company now wants the restore discs sent to them, which I find amazing. If you'd send your Apple in to be repaired, I'm sure they would have had restore discs.
A couple of spare ones in the back shelf, yeah.
Yeah, you would have thought. But anyway, we won't go there, but that's, yeah.
Other cool features, JD, GPS in this new iPhone?
GPS and also their cellular triangulation, because the complaints that came out early from some of the speculators was that the chipset they've used for GPS, don't ask me which one, I actually don't know, but isn't particularly well known for its in-building coverage. And I guess Apple's way around that is, well, we've got GPS for when you're outside and we've got triangulation when you're inside.
Okay. But GPS to me is always an outside, out of doors technology.
Absolutely.
You have to be able to see the sky.
There's 18 or 20 odd satellites floating heavenly above you, many, many miles above the surface of the planet. And anything that gets in between you and them, such as a wet tree, a garage, roof, a building, anything, will prevent the GPS from working.
How often are you inside a building and you don't know where you are?
Well, it's a matter of the phone knowing where you are, so it can tell you where to go and eat lunch.
You've been in a television station recently?
No.
Well, there you go. There's perfect use for it.
Because I haven't developed the telepathy option just yet.
Oh, okay.
But the interesting thing that's been coming out now is that there appears to be some arrangements in the developer kit that you're not allowed to program the phone to give directions based on the GPS, which is a bit weird. So
that'll solve Graham's problem.
Yeah. There's no hardware fix. Things. But there's a suggestion that Apple, for whatever reason, don't want it to actually be directional. They just want it to tell you where you are.
One of the disappointing things to me, because I use MMS technology to send emails of what the kids are doing to mum and all that, and we use it quite regularly on the plan that we're on, the iPhone doesn't support video conferencing. It doesn't support it doesn't have a camera in it that you can use to do video calls. And the MMS, which is... You know, we all like an MMS these days. You know, what are you doing now? Here I'm at the pub.
Snap a quick picture and send it to someone over the phone network.
Yeah, check who I'm going out with tonight, all those things. Mm-hmm. And especially for the young people, which I would have thought this device was targeted at, just doesn't exist at this stage. Mm. I alluded in the opener that potentially a third-party developer would come along and potentially make a bit of software which you can plug in, but it still doesn't... cut the mustard that there's no camera in the device.
Well, there's still a suggestion that Griffin or someone like that might come up with a click-on accessory for the extra camera. And there's been rumours for quite a while about a large version of the iPhone, a tablet version, and maybe that would have a camera or just the next generation. So get this one out cheap, get everyone sucked in, and then here's, you know, iPhone Plus, which has got the camera and extra memory and lots of other things.
All right, you're listening to Tech Talk Radio. When we come back, we're going to announce the winner of our 1 terabyte hard drive, our portable hard drive, wherever you might be in the world. Lyd's going to ship it direct to you from the United States, and we'll find out all about that after this.
You're listening to
Tech Talk. Any questions? You're all speechless over this.
No, you've got the world's most aggressive spam filter.
TikTok.
If you've got the wrong SIM card, it's because they sold you the wrong thing.
TikTok Radio.
We may have digressed.
The network's probably ready for fibre to the node now.
Telstra has lost the ACCC court case.
They download loss because they can't stand watching it on commercial television.
You're listening to TikTok Radio. Radio.
Welcome back, wherever you might be listening, around the country, around the world, to Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andrew McComb. Sitting in front of me today, three very able gentlemen, all with different brands laptops and all working uniquely differently. And some
uniquely
not,
differently.
And some not so working at all.
Stop looking at my laptop in that tone of voice.
Sorry. The only man who brings in a rubber flexible laptop keyboard.
It is.
It's quite unique, really, isn't it?
It is.
Anyway. Would you like a 1 terabyte hard drive to go with your rubber keyboarded?
I'd love one, but you've told me all my entries are disqualified.
No, that's right. Unfortunately, you can't have one. But now is the time. There's a special time. In the last 4 weeks, we've been advertising. We've been soliciting for your entries into actually coming on board and trying to win one of these things. And tonight is the night that it's time to actually give one away. So
I'm going to video this on my dodgy little phone. So
we're going to put it up online. So
we're going to put it up online. High quality video is selected.
Oh, good. So, ladies and gentlemen, as Dr. Ron goes into record on the little
handphone. If you won't hear from me for 30 seconds.
Here we go. It's time for the Tech Talk Radio 1 terabyte of Max Tor hard drive giveaway, as Dr. Ron stands in the corner there. Now, I believe JD is actually going to...
the barrel girl.
Yeah, the absolutely sensational barrel girl too that we have here in the studio tonight. Now, you have a... I was actually going to offer this to Dr. Ron. I was going to offer him the choice of the Smith & Wesson or the choice of the semi-automatic bow and arrow. But since
I'm
he's
using
now,
the Schaefer instead.
You're using the Schaefer instead? All right. Well, what I'd suggest to you, we have a dartboard in the middle of the room. We've got all the entries put into one small device, and you're now going to close your eyes and drop something onto that device there and tell us in no uncertain terms who that winner might be. So if you'd like to arm yourself.
Here we go.
Are we ready?
Yeah. The device is hovering over the form. Oh, and it's hit.
Oh!
We've got a winner.
And oh, we've got a winner, have we? Okay, so now it's back to the drawing board. And the winner is, you give us the map reference on the Tech Talk Radio coordinates.
This one here is the closest one.
Looks pretty good to me.
It's right on the name. All right, so it's Charlie 8.
Charlie 8. That's 1, 2, 3.
See for Charlie, number 8.
And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Down
that's
there.
A phone number there.
Competition entry. It looks like someone in Darwin. Let's double click it and see who it is. Just bear with us. Now, this is where technology is going to work. It may work, it may not. Anyway, and yes, here we go. The winner of the Tech Talk Radio, 1 terabyte of...
Where'd the drum roll come from?
Did you hear
something
a drum roll
outside.
In? The winner is Juan Lambert, if that's how you pronounce it correctly. Somewhere from 08. So that could be South Australia.
Is it
could be
Dwayne?
Is that it? Dwayne. Is that how you pronounce it? Dwayne.
Maybe.
Dwayne Lambert. We have your phone number. We have everything there. And he sent a little message down the bottom there to basically to the point that says, I've set myself the task of scanning mine and my family's photos and home videos to hard disk. Having just married, my family has effectively doubled the in-laws. I think it's a great idea to achieve their
memories. I hate when that happens.
Their memories and have a... Yes, obviously. So there you go. He's going to put the photo album and he's going to need the extra storage space physically and digitally. Can you help? Well, yes, Dwayne. You are the Tech Talk Radio winner of the hard drive.
Yay! So congratulations.
Woo. All right, there we go.
Yeah, I'm glad it's going to someone who's going to put it to a good use. That's a fantastic use for a terabyte.
All right, Dwayne, we'll give you a ring the next day or so and collect your address details and all that sort of stuff. And Lid, our US correspondent, our other sexy barrel girl who turned, I'm not going to tell you her age, but she had a birthday last week and she has it over there, and it'll be shipped to you from over there, back over here.
That's
very
tremendous. So. Thank you, everybody who entered as well and showed an interest.
Now we have another
very exciting.
We have more good news.
Good
news.
Oh yeah,
well, I got another one to give away.
Another one.
Another one.
Another
can
one.
We this time.
No, you can't. I'm sorry. But we're going to announce that next week. So I think this is a 750 gig one. It's the next one down from the big 1 terabyte one. So
we'll do all this again next week.
No, we'll start another competition next week.
Fair enough, then.
And what I'm sort of thinking of is we'll do a deal this time, and whoever wins it can give it a review and come into the studio live, providing they're close to the studio. We don't have any budget for travel in this one, unfortunately, guys. So there you go, our winner. Thank you to
very
everybody
good.
Who entered.
Very good.
We had lots of entries over there. We had to shrink them down quite amazingly.
They're all fun reading as well. Some of the some were quite comic, some were serious.
We'll publish them up on the hard drive.
On the hard drive.
We will do that. We'll publish them on the WinServer hard drive, and people can have a read of them later on the website. So.
Very good.
So once again, congratulations to Dwayne. All right, moving right along. Let's go and talk a little bit more about Macintosh and the WWDC, the Worldwide Developers Conference that Steve got up and did not quite as well as he normally does. What other great things, JD, have we got to look in store for? What's going on with the operating systems and things like that? What's the new one, 10.6?
We spoke last week about 10.6, and I was saying, well, I can't
imagine...
Snow Leopard.
Yeah.
There's a name for you, given Leopard's sort of there at the moment. Anyway, we talked about it last week, and I said, well, I can't see it being released now, and I was right, it isn't being released, but they're announcing that in 12 months' time or thereabouts, it will be released, which is about
They're letting the cat out of the bag a bit early, aren't they?
Yeah, just a touch. Well, they did it last time with Tiger and Leopard, yeah. Sorry. Boom, boom. So Snow Leopard 10.6, a lot of the buzz around is that the developer's release is for the Intel processor only, but that's largely because it was the first release and the developers will want to get it into their brand new high-end machines. Most people are saying that the later releases for developers will in fact have PPC or PowerPC processor code, probably for the G5s.
They were talking about dropping, PowerPC?
Yeah.
Weren't they?
It's a bit early still because the G5 quad cores are still around and pretty useful for graphic designers and high-end designers. So it's unlikely they'll drop them altogether, but they're certainly going to focus on the Intel platform. And most of the discussion was around, you know, 10 OS 10 has been around for a little while now, and it's time to build it from the ground up for Intel.
Was it a hybrid 10.5, was it?
10.4 and 10.5 were both hybrids, yes.
It used to, boot camp and all those sort of things, you'd have to dual boot them. So they're going to change it now so that you don't run those applications?
I don't know that that's the intention, but I think the whilst they ran the OS 10 development in both PowerPC and Intel in the background before they moved across to the Intel platform, so it was there, I think it was optimized for the PowerPC chip, and now they're going to move across and optimize for Intel.
Let's talk about something else which is very, very much in the news today. This is the ACCC having a go at eBay, their policy over PayPal, to basically say that if you now shop on eBay, it's supposed to kick in tomorrow. Now, tomorrow's date is, as he looks at his laptop, what's today's date?
Is the 16th.
So 17th tomorrow was when this new regime was going to be rolled out by eBay, and that is that you can only do a transaction more or less using PayPal. Now, the ACCC, which is the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission, came out today and said, we think this is a monopolistic type sort of attitude that you're, you know, enforcing people to buy this way, and we don't think it's right. And so far, so that they've actually said they've slapped or whatever they slap on them to say that if you do this, you're in big trouble.
They issued a draft notice. And
is that what they call it, a draft notice?
Yes. And then
but it's only a draft. You don't have to listen to drafts.
Well, it's a notice saying that they'll this is what they intend to do, and they're prepared to listen to people's responses if they have a very, very good argument as to why they shouldn't go ahead with this. And if they go ahead, the ACCC goes ahead, then it'll become law.
Now, this draft notice came out late last week.
That's right.
And over the weekend when I logged into eBay, I was required to read a message that says, as of the 17th,
I saw that.
Yeah. First thing you did when you logged in over the weekend.
I wonder what we're going to be talking about this time next week. It's, I don't know, it's anti-competitive if you ask me. If you're forcing one, like I can see the logistics behind it. Yes, it's good. It can makes things a bit more streamlined from a transacting point of view. But what if you wanted to do it another way? Like COD and things like that, where you would normally rock up and give someone some cash.
You can do that. That's still allowed under these.
Oh, CID is still a goer, is it?
It was even in the splash screen that came up on the weekend.
Ah, oh, you've read your splash screens.
I did read it.
But do you think it's anti-competitiveness or what? I don't know. I personally would like to use PayPal because they don't sting your merchant fees from like the banks do.
Yeah, I agree. But I like to use PayPal, but I don't like being forced to do anything. So yeah.
Well, we know that.
Sometimes it's easier to punch in a credit card number and to.
Well, you can do that with PayPal as well. PayPal's great like that.
Yeah, but they're taking a cut though. They're saying, "Oh, because you're using our system that we're imposing upon you, then we're going to charge you to use it as well."
Hello, merchants do that already. The banks do that. They take more than PayPal do.
Yeah, but it needs to be my choice. If I want to either give the American Express people or the MasterCard people my money, or do I want to give eBay my money as well as giving them my money? Money from them being selling the product.
You want to spread the goodness around.
Well, yeah, I might want to spread the goodness around. I might not want a PayPal account. I might just want to stick to my Visa or whatever.
Anyway, as you would expect, eBay has challenged the ACCC's proposal to oppose the auction site's PayPal policy only, claiming that the ACCC's proposal undermines online consumer protection. eBay has announced that it will delay the removal of other payment methods from the site until the 15th of July.
So you go. Got another month.
Them's fighting words, is it not?
So you're still going to have a PayPal account, because that's what the splash screen notice said. You'd need to have a PayPal account, but they won't remove the other options until July. Is that right?
I think that's what they're doing.
Excellent. Now that we've solved that problem, tune in next week for the final conclusion.
Do you really think we've solved the problem? I think we've contributed to it, if nothing else.
Well, you did not bad. A next 4G iPhone. Well, good. Yeah, the rumors have started here right now on Tech Talk Radio. And we're going to take a break and we'll start some more after this.
Compelling.
Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
Judicious.
The question is really whether young people particularly are addicted to being connected to other people all the time.
Historical.
Today is a very important day in Australia's history. This is the day, the 6th of October, in 2006, that life in Australia will be changed forever.
Caring.
I know as a parent, I would often say to my children, you've just spoken to this person for 8 hours at school, how can you sit online and chat to them for another 5 hours?
You heard of road rage? What about web rage?
They should be wearing a mask and carrying a gun.
Relations between Telstra and the federal government have been extremely strained almost from the moment Sol Trujillo became chief executive.
Optus had quite a good quarter, but its 3G service is very low profile at the moment.
And the Queen's got an iPod.
Betty's got one.
Yeah.
Wonder what she listens to. She'll probably listen to us.
An unexpectedly high number of voters swamped the system. Well, what did they expect?
Controversial.
Less attention is paid to the equally interesting question, should journalists blog?
Magical.
And I've got some residual powers.
Ambitious.
High-speed broadband, it's available in most of Asia as well as being in the rest of the world. Let's just make sure that we can get it in Australia this year, not next.
Religion.
Talking of the Roman Catholics, I have been on Vatican Radio.
Comedy.
You put the date on E-Pray, and you get a whole service just on
it. How does it go?
It goes...
Insightful, entertaining, and informative. Tech Talk Radio. More than just technology.
It's a strictly rehearsed and finely polished program.
The panel on Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. Yeah, Andrew McComb here, Dr. Ron Graham, Callaghan, JD. We're all here. We're going to talk about Telstra considering reselling ADSL 2 Plus to its ISP rivals.
Oh, good
nice
on them.
What do you reckon? Is that a nice thing to do? Telstra has done an about-face on its broadband wholesale strategy by suggesting it might be willing to resell ADSL 2 Plus high-speed internet services to rival ISPs. You guys were mentioning earlier on in the show about the fact that you reckon there's some form of collusion going on there at the moment with only a few cents difference.
Well, the pricing and the plans are all very, very similar across all the smaller ISPs at the moment.
Yes. Well, Telstra, which had delayed its switching on of more than 900 exchanges for 3 years, and 3 years until April this year, has traditionally denied competing ISPs access to its ADSL 2 Plus network in the fear that the ACCC would force it to resell the connection to its competitors at lowball prices. At the time of Telstra's opening of the ADSL 2 ports, that's the other 900 that they opened up the other day, the company declined to state whether or not it would offer wholesale access to its freshly unveiled high-speed services. Now, they're everywhere. You can actually get ADSL 2 Plus via Telstra nearly absolutely everywhere in any exchange that even doesn't have competitors' equipment in there at the moment, which I thought is quite good. But then you go and read the Big Pond pricing and you go, ooh. You know, you just end up paying $20 a month more than you would with any other ISP. So you just got to ask yourself, is that extra 5-6 megabits in download speed worth it over an uncapped ADSL 1 at around about 8 megabits per second? And to which the answer is, Dr. Ron, would you spend that money or would you stay at 8 megabit ADSL? I guess it depends what you're doing with it, really, doesn't
it? I'm rather envious of Graham at the moment because he's paying about $20 or $30 a month less for ADSL 2 Plus and he gets more bandwidth than I'm paying for. So
yes.
It's crazy at the moment. There's not a lot of parity between the pricing of ADSL first generation and ADSL 2 Plus.
It is funny, isn't it? ADSL 2 is traditionally a little cheaper than ADSL 1.
Yeah, it's all over the shop.
And I think that's because of competition. It's because of companies like Internode that put their own devices, their DSLAMs, into telephone exchanges.
Yep, and because those companies are not as reliant on reselling Telstra services where they keep the prices high.
And then as a result, Telstra has to resell to compete, or else they miss out on a bit of their market share. But I think Telstra will always have some market share. Anyway, interesting news for Telstra there. Prisons in a plan to jam mobiles. Now, we've spoken about this before, but it's raised its head again in the mainstream media. Australian prisons are planning to block the use of mobile phones by inmates after the federal government agreed to help remove a legislative ban on jamming devices. Heaven help anyone who lives near a prison or a detention centre and wants to use a mobile telephone.
Or if you go there to do other work or whatever.
Because a jamming device is a transmitter, which would be sitting somewhere in close proximity to where those people would be wanting to use a mobile phone and just generating nasty stuff on radio frequencies right across the whole spectrum.
And they'll be causing harmful interference to people who are nearby the prison.
Yep.
Could be, yes. There's potential here for there to be problems.
Presumably the antennas are very directional. I'm hoping that the way these devices are designed or the way that the installation of them and the operation of them is regulated will be that...
I wonder if it's
very, very tightly controlled.
Pointing in rather than on the inside pointing out.
Yeah.
I wonder if the telcos are going to become involved in this by maybe a bit of engineering design, whether they make sure that antennas are not quite pointing towards prisons or up the wrong street or something like that. But I guess that's a bit too hard in metropolitan cities around Australia. But surely in rural areas that wouldn't be too hard to achieve, would it?
Yeah, well, of course, it'd be easier in rural areas because there's not going to be people as close. But and I do work for a customer that's within shouting distance of the remand prison in the middle of Melbourne.
Oh, yes,
in West Melbourne there.
Yeah, but I'm surprised that actually any radio wave penetrates that sort of environment. Have you seen the Faraday shields that they have around all the windows?
Yeah, they're called bars.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
You know, it's so much like a jail since they put bars on the window.
It's not unlike your microwave oven where you have a Faraday shield in that, which blocks radio frequency inside the device.
But I'll tell you what, I'll be very annoyed if my phone shows full signal and I can't make a call or if suddenly I can't get a signal from my customer that's right near there.
Yes, it would be very unnerving. But I wonder what the ACMA are going to have to say about it. But apparently, because they upset the New South Wales state government's plans not so long back to try this technology out. They said, no, you can't do that. You're going to interfere with services.
And radio communications law is a federal matter, yeah.
And then you've also got to look at the fact that how much of an emergency service is a mobile phone device. Like if someone, you know, maliciously turned off your phone at your house, then, you know, what happens if you need to call a service or something like that? If there's a matter of life and death, what happens then? Maybe they can shut them down. I don't know. It's food for thought, don't you think?
They'll have to implement it carefully.
Now, something near and dear to you, Dr. Ron, MySpace. You're a MySpace user.
No,
aren't you?
I am not.
Okay, good.
No, bite your tongue.
Not near and dear to you.
No.
Sorry, I lose track of all the social networking sites that you like to frequent.
No, MySpace, I'm not a fan.
Have you been Twitter tonight?
No, I haven't been Twitter. Twitter's been quiet.
Oh, good.
No one. Excellent. People might be following me. I've put a couple of updates in there.
Have you?
Yes.
Well, MySpace is to get a facelift of all things. The online hangout MySpace is revamping its site to draw more members. Do they need more?
Faceliftspace.com.
I thought they had millions of members. Anyway, they need more members, and the facelift will also help them better engage with one another. Search capabilities are being improved. For instance, the results with other users, music videos, and general types of applications, MySpace site, and the web at large will be sorted into separate tables. That's good. I must admit, I'm not a MySpace user. I don't know whether that's good, bad, or indifferent, but... who knows?
MySpace has been around a lot longer than Facebook.
Yeah, Microsoft nearly bought it.
Yeah, nearly. Nearly.
Yes. And they've missed out on Yahoo too, which they, I think it was valued around about, I don't know, however many billion dollars.
I think they're too worried about missing out on Yahoo. I think Yahoo's more worried about missing out on Google or by Microsoft.
Microsoft.
Yes. Reading between the lines.
Yeah. Now, another pet subject near and dear to our hearts, banks are under fire over fees. Consumer groups say banks are gouging on penalty fees and have called for the watchdog to protect consumers against unwarranted and exorbitant charges. A Senate inquiry into the Family First Draft's fair bank and credit card fees has been told that the bank sees up to 92 times the cost of processing failed direct debits and up to 16 times the cost of processing dishonored checks, which is all a computer entry. Not bad money if you can get it, I wouldn't have thought.
It's pretty good.
You know, the banks need to overhaul their technical systems, like clearing a check these days. Well, when was the last time you went and put a check in the bank? I can't even remember. Even QuickBooks, they said, here, have 50 free checks. I said, thank you very much.
I don't know what the hell I'm going to do with them, but thanks very much. Yeah. The other thing that always gets my goat is that if you do get a check from the Reserve Bank, you might get a tax refund. They say, oh, yeah, it's going to take...
Really?
You know, it's
you
going
get
to take...
them? No, they don't send checks. It's
no, they can do it electronically now, yeah. But if you do get nominate to have a check sent to you, they say, oh, yeah, it'll take 10 days to clear, 10 working days or 2 weeks.
Yeah, we don't trust them.
No, no, like check for $100.
I've had this argument with my bank in the past. How can a check from the Reserve Bank of Australia need time to clear?
Exactly. It'll have a different signature on it now. They might trust him more than the other bloke.
Give me a break. What are they doing?
Speaking of breaks, we'll be back shortly.
Listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Have you heard something on Tech Talk Radio worth talking about? Are you looking to share your technical dilemmas or opinions with like-minded Tech Talk Radio listeners? Well, now you can. Introducing the Tech Talk Radio web forum. Visit forum.techtalkradio.com.au and join our community. It's free and on a web browser near you.
You're listening.
Dr. Ron?
Here I am listening.
Residual powers.
And I've got some residual powers.
You can't turn off CDMA.
Listening.
In terms of the volume,
motorists have to give fingerprints. Now, this
we may have digressed.
Talk radio.
Bill Burgess also claimed the country would remain behind.
We used to think 600 kilometers.
Don't open
things
that good that you're not expecting, even if they do it.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
In this house, we obey the laws of thermodynamics.
Cool! This thing is amazing!
Tech Talk Radio's Gadget of the Week.
Son of my own!
The Fat Shark FPV radio-controlled racer. This is a radio-controlled model car. But it's not just a radio-controlled model
really?
Car.
Oh, goodness me.
It's a radio-controlled model car with a built-in video camera. But it's not just a radio control model car with a built-in video camera.
Transmit somewhere, right?
The new system from Fat Shark comes with a set of wireless virtual reality goggles, which provide the display, and with and there's a built-in accelerometer in the goggles.
Does it work on unleaded or diesel?
To control the tilt and pan of the camera. In other words, the headset and your head movements directly control the camera pan tilt
via
an independent 433 megahertz radio link. You get a 2.4 gig CE certified 10 milliwatt transmitter, a high resolution 420 TVL camera, 5-channel radio controlled radio with integrated head tracking, pan tilt camera mount and camera transmitter, and a high performance 4-wheel drive radio controlled racer. According to Engadget, you can buy the system with the car or purchase the components separately to hook onto, for example, a remote control plane. You can even remotely turn on off headlights for nighttime driving or for dark areas that need exploring. You need to go to YouTube for a video demonstration. Search for the keywords Fat Shark Wireless. Very impressive.
How much?
No word on price. So watch this
surprised.
Space. But for more information, click on the FPV RC car link at www.gowiththeshark.com.
Here it is, everybody. The world's greatest website.
Tech Talk Radio website of the week.
We have been talking in recent weeks about social networking sites.
Oh, yes.
And I've said that you should have the ability to update all of your status messages from one source, and for messages and status updates to be
network
independent.
Oh, and you found a place to do that, have you?
I found not one but
two. Social
networking
guru.
I found not one but two. The first one is ping.fm. Thank you to the person who recommended this in the Facebook Tech Talk Radio group. I just can't remember off the top of my head who that was, but thank you. Ping.fm lets you do this. It lets you use AIM, Gtalk, iGoogle, WAP, iPhone, iPod, Touch, SMS, and email to relay status updates.
There are people just going, what?
To Twitter, Facebook, MySpace, all sorts of things. You need an account, though, and you need a special beta code. Well, the system's still under development. I emailed them and said, can you give me a special beta code? They haven't replied yet, but if you're lucky enough to find one, no, go to ping.fm. The other one that I have used, which seems to work very well, is called HelloText. HelloTXT.com. And again, this enables you to update your status across all of your social networks. It works to Twitter, Jaiku, Pounce, Facebook, MySpace, and Bebo, and it works very well. Note that it's only one way, so you won't actually get messages coming back into HelloText, but it lets you propagate your status messages to all of your social network accounts.
Well, if you've got plenty like you have, Dr. On, that's probably a damn fine thing.
There you go. So we've got two websites for this week, ping.fm and HelloText.com.
There is a fine line between genius and madness.
Shoot. Missed it by that much.
I know nothing. Nothing.
Houston, we have a problem.
The Odd Spot on Tech Talk Radio.
I said that this week's Odd Spot was related to our Hong Kong friends. And Hong Kong police have said that a suspected Peeping Tom scaled the outside of his apartment block with his mobile phone to film his 28-year-old neighbour taking a bath. Police said
really?
The 44-year-old man...
As everyone looks at Dr. On's laptop?
Unfortunately,
for the pictures?
Critically injured after he fell 10 floors and only survived because his fall was cushioned by a tree. He's expected to face criminal charges if he survives. The man's Sony Ericsson Z800i was undamaged in the incident.
Oh, hasn't
this bloke heard of... I made that last bit up.
Hasn't
this bloke heard of wireless webcams? It's got to be an easier way, doesn't there?
Well, I don't know. Either that or the neighbour was obviously a real hottie or something like that when he was going. It was worth the... You know, life and limb types of stuff.
I mean, he thought he was Spider-Man climbing 10 walls up to... Yeah.
Maybe he'd had some encouragement for some substances or something like that on the track. You never know.
The mind boggles. Graham, speaking of being substance affected, you've got a very important announcement to make.
That the video for the drawing of the 1 terabyte Maxtool hard drive competition is now online. Go to forum.techtalkradio.com.au and have a look in the announcements section. You'll find it there.
Woohoo! So in the time that we've actually recorded that and now, we've got it up online. It's available for everyone to see.
Yep.
That's pretty good.
Fantastic. Well, you done. Yes, if you missed it before, we announced the winner of our 1 terabyte hard drive competition we had with Maxtor, one of the new encrypted things. So, yes, Juan. What's his... What?
Dwayne.
Dwayne. That's it. Sorry, Dwayne. I'll get it right one of these days. I'll give you a ring and you can tell me personally very shortly. But he won our 1 terabyte hard drive, which is going to be heading his way to a 08, wherever that might happen to be. I think it's Adelaide. Is that right?
Is it his phone number starts with 08?
Yeah.
Well, is it 088 or 089?
Yeah.
088's in Adelaide, 089's a Perth, I think.
All right. You've been listening to Tech Talk Radio, Dr. Ron Graham Callaghan. Who are you, Graham Callaghan?
You should hear what he calls us off air, Dwayne, so you can't even...
No, it's a tongue engaged, it's been a long day, you know. And JD over there. Yes, thank you one and all. We'll be back the same time next week on this radio station that you're listening to us on, and we'll do it all again. We'll probably find out what eBay's song and dance is up to this time next week too.
And don't forget the Apple Store opening on the 19th.
Ooh. Are we doing a road trip? We're heading up?
Yeah, no. Grab your microphone and go and do some Vox Box.
I'm on holidays. Front. Come on, we'll do it.
We're on holidays. Yeah,
this Thursday. I'm always on holidays.
All right, back. Yeah, absolutely. Till next week. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Tech Talk Radio, brought to you each and every week by a group of dedicated professionals from within the media, broadcasting, IT and telecommunications industries. The team consists of executive producer Andrew McComb, producer Dr. Ron, panellists Graham Callaghan and Mark Diggins, expert opinion Adam Turner, and our US correspondent is Lydia Davis. Post-production facilities courtesy of Evolving Communications. Podcast production by Graham Callaghan. Tech Talk Radio is broadcast, recorded and streamed live to the world each and every Monday night at 8 p.m. from the studios of 3WBC. The crew wish to thank all the stations that take the show, including 3WBC and 3XX in Melbourne, Cairns FM, Switch 1197 in Brisbane, 95.3 Huon FM in Tasmania, Queer FM in WA, and Stop and Go Radio in the United States. For sponsorship and advertising, call 03 9018 9043 or visit our website, techtalkradio.com.au. This has been a production of Tech Talk Radio Vic and is subject to copyright and applicable laws and may not be rebroadcast without approval.